Okay, the title of this year is straight out of the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah, in explaining why we don't say Hallel on Purim, so the Gemara says, because even after the salvation of Klal Yisrael, we were still Avdei Achashverosh. As opposed to Golus and Geulas Mitzrayim, where we went from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei Hashem. The Gemara says that when we say in Tehillim, Kuf Yud Gimel, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, the Gemara Darshans is just the title of the Shir, Halu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Paro. Megillah Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We went to become Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Paro. So what I want to discuss today is that we often think, if I were to ask you to pick one word which captures the entire Yom Tov of Pesach, maybe you would say the word Cheirus. Zman Cheiruseinu. It's a good call. It's not a bad choice. But the truth of the matter is that really, the Pnimius, it's not really a time where we go from Avdus to Cheirus, but where we go from Avdus to Avdus. Where we go from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei Hashem. And I want to talk about what that means to be an Eved Hashem. Because if we think that the celebration of Pesach is just that we're free, and now we do what we want, then we've totally missed the boat. Okay, let's start with a piece from the great Mashkiach from Mir. In his time, he was just known as the Mashkiach. Everyone knew who that meant. That was Rav Yochum Levavitz from Mir. Passed away in 1936. And in the Sefer Das Chachma Umusar, in the first volume, he has a piece entitled Tachlis Yitzias Mitzrayim Inyan Ha'avdus. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is that a person should acquire a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an Eved. As an Eved. Let's read inside. Very strong words of Yerucham. Nisbar B'maimer HaKodem, I explained previously in my discussion about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Eino shiyas ames v'yizabar etzal ha'adam ha'amuna v'hanisim ha'osos v'hamosim shizachu lam yisrael v'yizias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not only that a Jew should acquire a clarity and an understanding of the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, that we saw with our own eyes when we left Mitzrayim. Ela shetachlis kol zeh, can underline these words, hu avdus. It was not a magic show. We worked for Paro, we acquired a work ethic, and now we work for Hashem. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was not a freedom that allows us to do whatever we want, rather that the tachlis, that what we were seeing when we were so overwhelmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saw His open miracles, the purpose was that we would want to be servants of Hashem, to be Avdei Hashem. V'achoshev, look at these words in the third line, V'achoshev sh'atachlis hi amuna. If you think that the purpose of the Seder night is Amuna, I give you 10 shiurim on that topic. There's so much written about that topic. That is the purpose of the Seder night. Says Rav Yerucham, no, it's not true. If you think that the purpose of the Seder night is simply Amuna, v'zeh etzlo ha-matara, and for you, that's the matara. What's matara? That's the goal. If you think the goal is to walk out of the Seder with a clarity in Amuna and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the matara v'ha-ikar v'tulo midi, and that's all you need to get from this night, a clear awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's what you think Pesach is, I don't know why he chose to write it so strong, but he writes, Ein lo chelek b'lokei Yisrael. You're not on our team. You're not getting it. You totally miss the purpose of what we're trying to achieve at the Seder. Shebe'emes tachlis hakol hu avdus. The real tachlis of the Seder night is not amuna, is not cheiros, but is avdus. Me avdus la avdus. What do you mean? We always say me'avdus l'cheiros. No, me'avdus la'avdus. But there has to be this deep recognition and responsibility that a Jew takes upon himself to be an Eved Hashem. Kol ma'isa u'ma'isa shel adam nimdedes b'zeh. Ad kamehi shayeches l'mida shel avdus. If you want to measure a Jew, and you want to see how good of a Jew he is, says Rav Yerucham from Mir, we don't measure him when he's having a good day. And he's going to davening 3 times that day. And he's learning Torah that day. Shkoyach, he's having a good day. Of course he's into it. The measure of man, says Rav Yerucham, is how much he sees himself as an Eved. An Eved who doesn't have a choice if he wants to work. The master tells him what to do, and he does it. He understands that his life depends upon it. It's not up to him. It's not only when he's in the mood. Zosomeris, Zion Aleph, stands for Zosomeris. Ba b'mida shomaisezem mevi lidei avdus, ba b'mida hu nechsha v'nerach. In accordance with the degree of avdus that this person takes upon himself, to that degree is his value. That's the self-worth of that individual. Vaday, says Rav Yerucham, shegam amuna hi b'china b'zeh. Of course, amuna leads to avdus. If I believe in God, and I feel that He is truly the creator of the world, so then certainly that brings me closer to that world called avdus. Vade shagam amuna hi bechina b'zeh. Shal yidei amunaso v'akaroso b'Hashem. By recognizing and believing in Hashem, v'ososav v'niflo osav, the signs and wonders we saw in Mitzrayim, b'tuvo agadlo v'chasto shu ein sof, and we reflect on the infinite kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yavo lidei avdus. There's no question that brings us to want to serve Him. Aval tzarech shiatziv lo ha'adam avdus lematoras avodasa. But we have to realize that the tachlis, the goal is not to feel good. The goal is not to feel that Hashem loves you. Those are all true, and we talk a lot about those things. This year is the opposite of that. The goal is, it doesn't matter if it feels good, it doesn't matter if God loves you, or He's just forcing you to do. You do because you have to do. A Jew is an Eved Hashem. If God created the world and He told you, don't wear shatnez, I don't care if it's annoying, to figure out how to get your suit checked for shatnez. You can't do it. I'm an Eved. What choice do I have? It's not up to me. It's not something I opt into. Hafaleim Arkegigis. We'll get to that. Yeah.
Is it possible that you're really saying, when you say Abdus of Heros, it's not necessarily that we're going from slavery to freedom, but He's saying that we go from slavery to serving Kodesh Baruch Hu in the sense that it's not that we're coming out of love to Heros, but once He took us out, our moon is there because we saw the sea splits of it, or it's out of Ab.
Correct. There's no question that an Emesdik Eved Hashem has tremendous joy in his life, and I'm going to come back to that. Right? But that feeling, that notion that it has to be fun, doesn't say the word fun once in all of Tanakh. The word fun doesn't exist. That tshuva that we mentioned in the past from Moshe Feinstein, how he says everyone in America just wants to learn, everyone's just interested in having a good time. Yeah? Moshe Feinstein. Gimel vav dalet, good. Tas yod yod mem. Good time. Rav Moshe says people just want to have a good time. Rav Moshe says, where does it say that life's about having a good time? In Achanami, when a person understands that Torah is a privilege, not a punishment, so then it becomes beautiful, and it is chayrus. It frees you from all the taivas of the world. Yeah. Right? But initially, there has to be a sense of avdus, a sense of achrayus. I want to share with you an insight from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab, in the Sefer on Tefillah, you don't have it in front of you. It didn't make it into the packet in time. I was struggling to find it. It would have been the 14th page of our packet. Okay, it was meant to be, we'd have 13 pages, Gematria Echad, because this whole Indian is just one Indian. So Rav Schwab, in his Sefer, Rav Schwab on Prayer, or the Hebrew version, Iyun Tefillah, on the words that you say every morning, and every afternoon, and every evening in Shmoneh Esrei. Hashem is Kone HaKol, V'Kone HaKol. The beginning, opening bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, V'Kone HaKol. Literally, it means that God is the creator of all. It means that God is the Kone, Kinyan. He owns everything. Rav Schwab has a very beautiful insight. Rav Schwab says, in Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef is setting up the economy in Egypt, so we know that the Egyptians were very hungry, so they came to Yosef and they gave him all their money to buy food. And when they didn't have any money, what else did they give him? They gave him their land. When they didn't have any land, what did they give him? They sold themselves as slaves to Yosef. They became servants of the government in order to just survive. They felt that we need this food, and if we have to make ourselves into slaves, Yosef turned all of Mitzrayim into a slave land in order to supply them with food. They had nothing, they had no means of purchasing food. So says Rav Schwab in the Iyun Tefillah on page 300 in the Hebrew edition. He says, why do we know? Why do we care about this? Why does the Torah bother to tell us this whole story? Why does the Torah bother to tell us the economical history of Egypt? Who cares? What does it teach us? So Schwab says, I'll tell you what it teaches you. Just like the Egyptians didn't have the means to pay for their sustenance, so they gave away all their money, and then they gave away all their animals, and they gave away all their land, and then they finally gave over their bodies themselves. So says Rav Schwab, and how do we expect to pay Hashem for what He does for us? You have eyes that work, you have a heart that beats, you have legs that walk. How on earth are you going to pay for that? There's only one way to pay for that. We say in Shmoneh Esrei, V'koneh hakol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. I don't have enough money to pay for the kindness that Hashem does for me. So you know what I have to do? K'she'ein efsharus l'shalim, when a person can't pay for the gifts, for the goodness that you're receiving, what do? You give yourself over to be an Eved. And therefore, says Rav Schwab, we can't even begin to pay a tiny percentage of what we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he gives examples here. The koach ha-ri'iyah, the koach ha-shmiyah, the koach ha-dibur, the ability to move, be able to walk down the street, the the ability to see and to hear and to speak. And he quotes, of course, from the Nishmas Kol Chai that we say Shabbos morning. V'ilu finu male shira kayam. We could thank Hashem forever and it still would be nothing compared to what he does for us. We can't pay him. We have no means of paying for the kindness. And therefore, the only thing that we could do, says Rav Schwab, v'lo nishar kiyam gviyaseinu, the only thing we could do is give over our bodies to Hashem. V'niyeh lo yisbarach avadim. And to become avdei Hashem. To become an eved. An eved who is totally, totally, totally subservient to his master. And that's what Rav Yerucham says here, is the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That a Jew should go from being an eved of Paro to being an eved Hashem. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is described in the Torah in two words, v'higadata levincha. And the Sfarim say that the word v'higadata is partially milashon gidin. Gidin are the sinews of the body. Chazal sometimes use a lashon that something should be kosher k'gidin. The gid is very strong. The gid is a very strong part of the body. And therefore, the higadata, there's a certain, as much as, of course, you want to create a loving atmosphere at the Seder, but there has to be something strong. Kosher k'gidin. V'higadata levincha. Tell your child, it's true. You're a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a ben of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's beautiful. You need to know that. But you know what else you need to know? You need to know that the night is not only about Amunah, it's about becoming an Eved Hashem. However, what's the gematria of Levincha? V'higadita Levincha. What's the gematria of Levincha? Tell your child.
102.
It's the same gematria as the word Amunah. Because the purpose of the night is what? Is to give over Amunah to your child. V'higadita Levincha. Give your child Amunah. But what Rav Yerucham of Meir just taught us, it's not only about giving your child Amunah, it's teaching your child the achrayis to be what? To be an Eved Hashem. And therefore, not surprisingly, what's the gematria of the words Eved Hashem? Also 102. 102 is gematria Levincha, gematria Amunah, gematria Eved Hashem. Because the tachlis of the night is not only Amunah, says of Yerucham, if that's what you think, then you ain't lo chelek b'elokei Yisrael. The tachlis of this night is that a Yid should become an Eved Hashem. Yeah. Yeah, no, Yudke Vavke. Eved, yeah, Hashem. Yeah, Yudke Vavke, 26. Yeah, Eved is 76, and Hashem is 26, 102. Which is the match of the word Banim, right? Banim Atem Hashem Lokeichem. Banim is exactly equal to Eved Hashem, because a Jew has to strike a balance between being a child of Hashem and being an Eved Hashem. We realized this past week at the Vilna Gaon Shir, in the middle of the Shir, we realized that if you look at the Nusach of the Haggadah, it says, Holach Ma'anya, Diachalu avasana ba'ara dimitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in Egypt. So the Vilna Gaon asked the question, hold on a second. I thought we ate the matzah when we left Egypt. They didn't have time for their dough to rise. They ate matzah in the Midbar. They ate matzah in Egypt. So he quotes from Rishonim, amongst them the Avudraham, that what? That yes, in Mitzrayim we also ate matzah. Why did we eat matzah in Mitzrayim? Because matzah is a very cheap food, and matzah is a very filling food. So it's a good type of food to serve your Eved. If you're not paying kosher prices for matzah, it's very cheap and it's very filling. So it's a good way to keep to sustain your avatim. In fact, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra writes that at one point in his life he was taken hostage, and he said his captors fed him a food that was very similar to matzah. So it makes sense that a person who's holding someone hostage doesn't not going to serve them a gourmet meal, not going to serve them a nice steak, going to serve them matzah. It's very filling and it's very cheap. What's interesting, and the Vilna Gaon explains, yes, so they're both true. We ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim, and we ate matzah when we were in Mitzrayim. So, Chevra, I'll ask you a simple question. How mean is God? How mean is Hashem? A person goes to jail for 20 years. Every day he's fed the same meal. He gets out of jail, he comes home to his family for the first time, and his wife says, I made you a meal that I know you're going to enjoy. I heard you eat it all the time. And she serves him the same food that he ate in jail for the last 20 years. How cruel is that? Right? So why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if in Mitzrayim we're being fed as slaves matzah, why would Hashem want us to take matzah with us into the wilderness? I think the answer is pashut. Because Hashem says, you're still an Eved. Don't think when you left Mitzrayim, you're not an Eved anymore. Now we don't need matzah anymore. We're not avadim anymore. Of course you're an Eved. Hashem says you're an Eved Hashem now. You used to be an Eved to Paro, and that's a very broken thing. But now you're an Eved Hashem, which is a very holy thing. But it's also hard work. And don't think for a second that you're going to enjoy all sorts of luxuries in this world. You're still going to have to be plain. You're still going to have to eat matzah. You have to have mesiras nefesh to be able to live the life of a Jew. That's why also the Sfarim explained you can't break between the third and the fourth cup of wine. The four Lashonos of Geula. Vilnagon actually had a different pshat we learned last week. Right, but we usually assume the four Lashonos of Geula, Votseisi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Hashem, you redeemed us, Vilakachti, you took us as your people. If you want to drink more wine between the second and third cup at the Seder, during the meal you want to drink five extra cups of wine, you're allowed to. Between the third cup and the fourth cup of wine, you're not allowed to drink any extra wine. What's the pshat? This is why I'm saying, because there can't be a break between the Vigaalti and the Vilakachti. From the moment I was redeemed, I have to be taken as a Kodesh Baruch Hu's people. From being an Eved of Paro to being an Eved Hashem. To realize that the tachlis of the night is to become an Eved Hashem. What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? Turn to page 2. Rav Salvechik, in the Mesoras HaRav Chumash, that they put out recently, more recently, in the Bereshis volume, on the words Eved Avraham Anochi. Who said Eved Avraham Anochi? Eliezer Eved Avraham, introduced himself as an Eved Avraham. Listen to the words of the Rav. I am Abraham's servant. Saying a servant to Abraham doesn't say, Eliezer didn't say, I'm a servant to Abraham. I'm Abraham's servant. What's the difference? Saying that you're a servant to Abraham would emphasize only the juridic social aspect. The statement would apply that while he belongs to Abraham legally, spiritually he's a free man. He has his own mind and an independent approach to reality. By stating instead, when Eliezer said, I've given myself over fully to my master, by saying that he is Abraham's servant, he identifies his whole personality with Avraham. He identifies his entire personality with Avraham. Serving Avraham is not just incidental. It is the whole purpose of his life. That is why the term Eved Hashem is used in the Bible. Our service to the Almighty is not something foreign and incidental. It is indispensable to our existence, intrinsic and inseparable from our ontological awareness. We are just servants of God and nothing else. Adkan, the words of the Rav. There's a difference between being an Eved to Avraham and being Eved Avraham. So how does that play itself out in the context of Mitzrayim? In Rabbi Ganak's volume of Pesach Torahs from the Rav called An Exalted Evening on page 33, he says the Rav makes this exact same point, but in the context of what? Avadim hayinu leparo b'Mitzrayim. Even though the title of our shir today, based on the Gemara, says that we were Avdei Paro, Rav Salvechik says that's not true. Avadim hayinu leparo b'Mitzrayim. We worked for Paro. We were never wholeheartedly given over to Paro. We're not called Avdei Paro. Avadim hayinu leparo. We worked for Paro. Being Eved Avraham, being Eved Hashem, means fully, fully immersed in it. So in Mitzrayim, Paro maybe controlled our bodies, but he didn't control our spirit. Once we realize that, we're able to free ourselves. But says the Rav, being an Eved Hashem means kol kulo, to give yourself over 100% to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. People sometimes think that the term Eved Hashem is almost derogatory. Like, oh, you're only on the level of Eved Hashem? Don't you know there's a higher level of a loving relationship with Hashem? Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem? So I ask you, if you were picking your top five Jews of all time, if you're starting five, I imagine every single person in this room would have Moshe Rabbeinu on your team. And how is Moshe Rabbeinu described Shabbos morning in the davening? Yismach Moshe. Moshe's happy. Going back to what Menashe Nechemya said before, that when a person becomes an Eved Hashem, it's not a sad thing. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Moshe is overjoyed. Why? Ki Eved ne'eman karasalo. So I'll ask you, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Vayamas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Turn to page 3. The very end of the Torah. It describes the death of Moshe, the Eved Hashem. That's the best you got? After 40 years of service, Moshe Rabbeinu just gets, oh, now he's worthy of calling, he's called an Eved Hashem. He's a good Jew. He does what God asks. That's it? Says the Shem Yishmuel in his last piece of Torah on Chumash, the last piece of Vezos HaBracha, Vayama Shem Moshe Eved Hashem. In the Medrash, in the Sifrei, it says, Lo Begenuso Shem Moshe HaKasu Medaber. It's not coming to speak negatively. It's not a genus. We're not trying to speak negative words about Moshe Rabbeinu, insulting words. Rather, we're coming to sing the praises of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shachein matzinu b'neviim harishonim shenikru avadim. Like we find by the Neviim that they were called avadim. Eved? A slave? The derogatory term. I started reading a book to make hachanas for for Pesach. I started reading a book about a black slave and his experience in the modern era. A person who was a black Christian and was taken by some lighter-skinned Muslims from his homeland and taken into 10 years of slavery. And I'm reading this book about his story, just to get a sense of like what's like the mentality of a slave. And then he eventually escaped. He made it to America. 10 years he was a slave. From the time he was 7 years old to he was 17 years old, he was being terribly abused by this Muslim, you know, master. So Eved has a very painful connotation to it. Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Hashem. That's it. That's what we call him at the end of his life. And the Medrash is highlighting this point. Don't think, by the way, if you think this is speaking derogatorily, in a derogatory fashion about Moshe Rabbeinu, you shouldn't think that. Don't worry, it's praising Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Shem Yishmuel, four lines from the bottom. Yesh lahavin. Mai sal kedaitach shezos kenus. Why would we think the Torah would say something negative about Moshe at the end of his life? V'nir adine yesh b'chinas benu b'chinas eved. There's more copies. If anyone doesn't have a copy, please get a copy. There's an aspect of Avodas Hashem called a child of Hashem, and there's an aspect of Avodas Hashem called Eved Hashem. K'mosh anu omrim, im kebanim, im kevadim. Like we say in the Am Noran. U'moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha-shalom, shaya mufchar amin ha-anoshi, b'vaday haya b'b'chinas ben. There's no question Moshe had earned the higher level, called a ben, a child of Hashem. That's a gevaldic level. V'im lohu haya b'b'chinas ben, mi yezos. Says the Shem Yishmuel, if you forgot what he looks like, his picture's right there on the left. Says the Shem Yishmuel, of course Moshe was a ben by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what's a chiddush? To say Moshe was also an Eved. What does that mean? Uvechein yachol shezos gnus l'moshe. Al ze amar she'ein okein. She'ad rabba ze shevach gadol l'moshe. Don't think that Moshe, he was a ben, but he was also an Eved. Why is that a big praise? She'im kol dvei kuso. Ha'yim mekabo olav b'chol pam yoser v'yoser ol machlis shemayim. Ke'eved ha'osa kol rak l'tovas rabba. You can imagine, Moshe was very close with Hashem. Did the Torah write about any of us that we spoke to Hashem panim al panim kasher yadaber ish al re'eyu? Hashem is Moshe's friend. Moshe spoke to Hashem like a person talks to a friend. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu didn't allow himself to enjoy that friendship in a self-serving way. He didn't allow himself to have the pleasure of his dveikus in Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, every time he got closer to Hashem, he reminded himself, I need to be subservient to Hashem. I need to be an Eved Hashem. And he was mekabel upon himself ol malchus shemayim, like an Eved who does everything for the sake of his master. He didn't need to feel good about being a Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Klal Yisrael. You have to serve Hashem even if it doesn't feel good. Even if it's not sweet. Even if it's not enjoyable. And that's why, says the Shem Yishmuel, all the Nevi'im were called Avadim. Concludes the Shem Yishmuel, as he often does, he speaks to us. This is a reminder to every Jew when he has his Soros, he's enjoying mitzvos. It's beautiful. It's part of our Birchas HaTorah every morning. Please, Hashem, make it sweet. But let's remind ourselves, says the Shem Yishmuel, lo yaspik zeh be'enav. It's not enough for you just to have a good time being a Jew. When it's kishmak and you're sitting at a tish on a Friday night with your chevro. And you say, oh, I love being a Jew. Shkayach. Hashem says, shkayach. That's great. Love being a Jew. Of course you love being a Jew. Do you love being a Jew when you feel the old Malchus Shemayim? Attach yourself with a strong rope, to be able to never lose sight of the fact that I don't do this because it feels good. I do this because I've been assigned by my master. And what choice do I have? It's an obligation that a Jew has upon himself. What's the last words of the Navi? The last words of the last Navi? Chagai Zachariah Malachi. Sefer Malachi. How does it end? Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. As we go into Galus, remember the Torah of Moshe my Eved. So I always was bothered by that phrase. Zichru Torah Moshe. Torah Moshe. It's Moshe's Torah, it's Hashem's Torah. It's Hashem's Torah. Torah Moshe. I mean, I understand the Gemara says in Masechas Avodah Zarah, when a person learns Torah, so then he becomes the owner of the Torah. I understand. But as we go into Galus, Zichru Torah Moshe. So maybe we have to redefine what the word Torah means. Right. When Rabbi Nachman would give over a teaching, it's called the Torah. Right. Look in Likutei Maran, Torah Chaf Beis. It's referred to as Torahs. Torah means a teaching. Torah means a lesson. Zichru Torahs Moshe. When you're going into Galus, and it's not going to be so geshmak anymore. Zichru Torahs Moshe. Says the Navi, remember the ultimate teaching of Moshe. And what was the ultimate teaching of Moshe? What's the next word in the pasuk? Zichru Torahs Moshe, Avdi. The most important lesson you could take with you into Galus, the ultimate lesson for Moshe Rabbeinu's life is what? He was my servant. Yismach Moshe v'man naschelko. You know what his chelik was? Ki eved ne'aman karasalo. Zichru Torah's Moshe. Remember the teaching of Moshe. That a Jew has to be an Eved Hashem. In Galus, it's really not going to be fun. In the Beis Hamikdash, it's gevaldik. It's a lot of fun. Learn the fifth parak of Sukkah. Learn about the Simchas Beis Shueva. A lot of fun. Rebbe is juggling torches. Gevaldik. What's going to be in Galus? You're going to drop out because it's not fun anymore. It's not kishmak. Not having a good time with it. The Yid understands the achrayas to be an Eved Hashem. And we understand from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the biggest praise you can give a person. To be called an Eved Hashem is one of the biggest titles, most choshiv titles a person can have. Rav Shechter writes in the Mepnine HaRav on page 42 that there were some people who edited Brich Shemei. Edited for themselves. What does it mean they edited for themselves? That when they would recite Brich Shemei, when we take out the Torah, it's a passage from the Zohar and Parshas Vayakel, they would take out a phrase. What phrase would they take out? Ana avda dekut shebrichu. I am an Eved Hashem. Ana avda dekut shebrichu. I am an Eved Hashem. The Chavetz Chaim wouldn't say that first. You know why? Who am I to call myself an Eved Hashem? An Eved? I'm an Eved? I always do what Hashem wants, I don't do what I want. The Chavetz Chaim, it's written in a sefer called Shar Shem and Hage Ashkenaz, Rav Shechter quotes it in Mipnine HaRav, that, what do you mean? Who am I to say I'm an Eved Hashem? Ana avda dekut shebrichu? And if you've ever, you know, sang the song, if you remember, right, people sing, Ana, 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 I am an Eved Hashem. As if it wasn't enough to say I once. The Imre Chaim of Rav Chaim Meyer from Vizhnitz was very upset. The first time he heard that song, he said, what is this? What kind of song is this? Ana, Ana, Ana. I'm a servant of Hashem. So the Bial Rebbe in his Siddur, in the Bial Rebbe's Siddur, the Chalkos Yoshua, he changed the words. And in his Brech Shemeh, he used to say, Ana ba'ina l'meheve, I want to be an Eved Hashem. I would like to be an Eved Hashem one day. Halavai, I should get there. Ana ba'ina l'meheve, avda de kutshabrichu, I want to be an Eved Hashem. But to say that I am, ana, I am, very difficult for a person to say. I once heard Rav Avram Shor say, maybe it's not ana, maybe we should say it ana. What's it between ana, with a patach under the aleph, and ana? Ana means please. Please, 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 I want to be an Eved Hashem. Right, not I am an Eved Hashem. Please, please, please help me to be an Eved Hashem. Because I know how hard it is to accept upon oneself Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim to be an Eved Hashem. That's hard. It's not easy. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved that very awesome level of the title of Eved Hashem. Okay, let's turn the page. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is Kulo Ava. The Baal Shem Tov's Torahs are all Kulo Ava, Kulo Chizuk, all about what it means to be a ben of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much Hashem loves you. And how that love can never be questioned. And yet the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh had a very interesting interpretation of a famous Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says, when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, on page 4, when Klai Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, it's quoted in the Baal Shem Tov HaTorah Parshas Yisrael, it says, V'yisiyatzvu b'tach tisahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain, Nuch, ever you know the Gemara, Kafaleim, Har, Kegigis. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our head, like a barrel, literally translated. And Hashem said, accept my Torah, or I'm going to drop it on your head. What's Tosfos' question? Shabbos Peches Amad Aleph. Why do you need to force us? We already said, Nasa V'Nishma. Why do you have to bully us into accepting the Torah? We signed up for it willingly. We're into it, God. We love your Torah. It's so fun. It's so gevaldik being a Yid. We signed up. What are you putting a gun to my head? Put a gun to my head and say, you better serve me. Whoa, calm down. Nasa v'nishma, we said that already. That's Tosfos' question in the Gemara Shabbos Peches Amud Aleph. So says the Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Paras Yosef, written by the same author as the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, one of the very early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. He writes, he says, Shemati mi pimori, I heard from my Rebbe, Lakach kofa kodesh baruch hu al Yisrael harkigigis. Why did Hashem put a gun to our head at our Sinai? Why did he have to be so rough with us? Why was he forcing us to serve him? We wanted to serve him. L'lamid shegam she'eno choshek l'torah v'avodas Hashem mikol makom eino ben chorin libatel. Hashem says, I'm really happy that you guys are into it right now. That's beautiful. And I hope it lasts forever. God says, let me let you in on a little secret because I know the future. It's not going to last forever. Shana Aleph is going to fade fast. Yeah, it's going to fade very fast. Even Shana Bet's going to fade very fast. And that feeling of like loving it is not always going to be there. So how are you going to get to Minyan on those mornings when you're not into it? And there's no prize for getting to Minyan, there's no prizes for learning, and there's no prizes for doing anything. How do you get up on those mornings? How do you get yourself out of bed on those mornings? And Hashem says, Nasav and Ishma, you're inspired, that's beautiful. I really hope it'll last forever. But I'm just telling you, sometimes you're not going to feel it, and you're going to have to put a gun to your head and say, I'm an Eved Hashem, and I get out of bed. It's not a choice. Who gave you a choice? Hashem didn't give us a choice. That a person who doesn't have a cheshik for Avodas Hashem, mikol makom eino ben chorin li batel, I don't have a choice. I don't have freedom. We went from avdus to avdus. I was never free. The person who studies Torah is free. That's the irony of it. Once you buy in, then you're free. You try to be free on your own. Hashem says, I'm going to make you my slave. There's no way you're going to be free. Rak yasa bal karcho. Force yourself to do it. V'yadama kamisha kofen oso lasas bal karcho. And make yourself like a person who's being pushed to do something, even that he doesn't want to do. V'uderech tov l'ish Yisraeli l'yameya katnus. And this is a very important technique for a Jew to have in those days when we're feeling small-minded. Again, when our hearts and minds are closed up. Shelo yivatel tamin mi'esek limudo. I don't only learn Torah when it's convenient and when it's enjoyable. V'avodas Hashem yisparach, gam she'eno choshek, d'mikol makom osa maisa. Even if my heart's not in it, but I force myself to do it. Because that's what it means for a Jew to be an emes l'gevur Hashem. Let's read a story on page 5 from the Shabbos HaGadol drashos of the Yechahein Pe'er. The Yechahein Pe'er was the son-in-law of the Sfas Emes, the Ben Dina Rav. Very, very interesting writings that he has on Chumash and Lamdus, on Kodshim, and also Drashos. In the early 1900s. He passed away in the early 1900s. Okay, so he writes here the following story. Okay, listen to this story. It's a wild story. You have to interpret it a little bit. Yeah, does everyone have a copy? Does anyone not have a copy? Yeah, pass them down. Okay, we're on page 5. Maisa Yisupar B'yamei HaRebbe Rav Shmelka. A story occurred in the period of Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. B'shoshai HaRav B'shinuva. And he was a Rav in Shinuv. Eira Maisa B'katzav Echad Shekol Behemos Shalo Niskashu V'haya Zos Lapela. There was a certain butcher, a certain shochet. Every time he shechted, his animals were glatt kosher. Glatt kosher is not based on how good your shechita knife is. Glatt kosher is based on when you cut the animal open, what's going on the inside. So, you know, yesh v'yesh. Sometimes the animal is perfect on the inside. Sometimes the animal has some types of punctures in its lung. Different, you know, ailments and wounds. All right, so you're going to have to... It's not going to be up to standard. Okay, so you'll sell it to the Gentile. He'll use it for himself. There was a shochet that every animal he shechted was mamish glad kosher. Beautiful. Never? How could that be? You go to the marketplace, you buy 10 cows. How do you can't pick out, you can't tell what's on the inside. And this guy, this shochet, the rumor was that he always had glad kosher. What, is he a liar? What's going on here? So the Rebbe Rav Shmelka came to look into this. V'amr lo ha-katzav, and the katzav, the butcher said to him, ki yesh lo echad, shemara lo al ha-yarid, ezu behemos heim kasherim. Sheyuchal liknos. He says, it's not me. There's a guy in the marketplace who tells me, this one's going to be good, this one's not going to be good, this one's going to be good, this one's not going to be good. So Shmelka said, who's this guy? Who's this guy who knows how to see through animals? So Shmelka went to check it out. V'hala ha-rebi of Shmelka, al ha-yarid, he went to the marketplace. U'paga im echad mea tzadikam anistarim, Rav Nata Shinover, Vishalu. Well, what's going on here? Right, well, what's this rumors that I hear that this... So he says, yeah. He says, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the marketplace, Eliyahu HaNavi tells me which animals are kosher, which animals are not. So Shmelka says, you have sheiches with Eliyahu HaNavi? He says, yeah, we talk all the time. Interesting. So he says, can you ask him a question for me? Please ask Eliyahu HaNavi why we're still in Galus. If he knows how to point out which animals are kosher, which animals are not, ask Eliyahu HaNavi which animals are kosher, why we're still in this galus, right? Just like he knows how to identify kosher animals, and he's revealing that secret to you, one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. So please, tell us why we're still in galus. It could be very helpful for us. We could do tshuva. What's the inyan? So he says, a couple lines down, because shenis galizat tzadik bo'i lav harbe mitalmidi amagin mimezrich, v'gam rebi reveli melech besocham, pa'amachas sholu asu achasidim ala richas agalus. So he said, okay, when all the tzaddikim came to this yid, they said, tell us, what's with Galus? Ask Eliyahu if you're so close. So he says, okay, when Eliyahu comes to me by the Seder, I'll ask him and I'll report back to you. So he reported back the following. And The Yechayin Peir says that, and I think this was what Eliyahu Navi told. Why are we still in Galus? He writes, 5 lines from the end of the paragraph. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh, remez al Galus hazeh, mikol halaylos. Why is this night different than all the other nights? Why is the final Galus lasting 2,000 years, when the time period between Bavel and Madai was 70 years? How did this Galus get so long? Manish halayla. Halayla means darkness. The darkness of Galus. Manish tana halayla hazem mikol halaylos. How did this night get so long? And each of the four stanzas of Manish tana answers a question about each of the Galios. So let's look at the last one. Or we grab a copy. Why are we still in Galus? Why are we still in this long Galus? Why is this night longer than all the other nights? Vateiritz. You know what the answer is? Kulanu misubin. What does Kulanu Masubin mean? We're all reclining. Now he goes on to explain that Subin actually means Subin in Talmudic literature means like the straw, the stubble. Like not the kernels of wheat that are edible. Chaff. Right? That our avodah is very crumbly and frail and worthless. Chaff. That everyone's just, you know, everyone's cheap about their avodah. But you don't even have to say that pshat. Eliyahu Navi told us that the answer to the fourth and final galus is kulanu misubin, that everyone's reclining. So I'll say pshat. You know what the pshat is. Kulanu misubin, everyone's reclining. Everyone's relaxing. Everyone wants it to be comfortable. Everyone wants to enjoy. And if I don't enjoy, then it's too hard. It's too hard for me to be an Eved Hashem. Kulanu misubin, everyone's reclining. Everyone wants the comforts. I want the luxuries of this world, and I also want to be a good Jew. So that's a contradiction. It's not possible for a person to indulge all the luxuries of this world and at the same time to be an emistic Eved Hashem. Because being an Eved Hashem by definition means that it has to hurt. That a person has to push himself. And you can't sit back in your chair. There were tzaddikim who sat on benches and never sat on a chair with a back. Because they didn't want to lean back. They didn't want to fall into that trap of kulanu misubin. They don't want any comforts from this world. Again, I preach be normal. A person should be normal about this. But it's a really important idea. That if we're going to be casual about getting to the geula, if we're not going to be serious, if we only go to davening when it works for us, and we don't go when it's too hard, and we only come to shir when it works for us, and we don't go when it's too hard, so then Mashiach's not going to come. That's kulanu misubin. And then the person gets stuck in Galus Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael is, in my opinion, one of the most important voices in the world today. The unbelievable Baal Eitza, he's got his hand on the pulse mamish, totally, totally knows what's up. In a volume of his Ma'amarim from Tavshin Samach Vav, Tavshin Samach Vav is 2006. He has a piece called Hachana L'Chag HaPesach, and he really gives us a little bit of his thoughts. Gives us a piece of his mind. Tells us what he thinks is going on in the world, and how broken we are in terms of the appropriate way to approach Avodas Hashem. It's on page 6 and 7. He starts off by quoting from his great ancestor. The Tolna Rebbe. The Tolna Rebbe starts off by quoting the Ma'orei 9. The Ma'orei 9 was one of the early, also Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. Passed away in 1787. Ma'orei 9, Chernobyl. And he writes in his Likutim, see it on the left side of the page, it's bolded. Already in the late 1700s, he already saw. Can you imagine Bizman Azeh, how lazy he would say we are? The Ma'orei Na'im says, I see that it's repulsive, it's hated by people to work hard. People don't want to work hard. No one wants to work hard. I don't want to be tired. I don't want to work hard. V'kachu teva adam, lirdov kol yemei chayev achra menucha. All I want to do is relax. I want to go from one vacation to the next. And I don't want to be burdened by the troubles of working and doing and putting in the effort. And what's the point? I'm so tired. It's too hard. Says the Tolna Rebbe. Anything. So my grandfather, he says, my great-great-grandfather already was screaming about this. He says that anything that takes a long time, kvar hu nifsol v'nimas be'enei ha'adam. People don't have patience for anything. Have no patience for anything. If you can't get instant results, then you're frustrated. V'dugma l'davar masher kavu chazal v'mishnayis avos, ben chamesh l'mikra. Look how they're telling the Rebbe, tzaddikim have an ability to see things the opposite of the way they look. The Talmud Rabbi says, right, look how people learn today. How many people only learn Chumash from age 5 to 10? Then Chumash L'Mikra. That's what Chazal say in Pirkei Avos. There's a timeline, 10 to 15. 10 to 15, Chazal say you should never touch a Gemara. You shouldn't start learning Gemara, you should be learning Mishnayos. Right? And yet, Bezman Hazeh, we want to be smarter than Chazal. And we want to get people started with Gemara at a younger age. They don't have any foundation. They don't know what they're doing. So we would say, but Gemara is a melus. No, it's not a melus. It's the opposite of a melus. You don't have the patience to wait to get there, right? And because you're living in your demyonos of, we have to get kids started at an early age. So you overturn the whole system and you ruin people. Look what he writes. Uvi'ameinu makdimim zeh zman harbe. Nowadays, we try to get started at a younger age. I remind myself all the time. My son's 3 years old. He got his upshare and he walks around and sits in a yarmulke now. That's great. It's not time to start learning Chumash yet. You can do Aleph Beis for the next 2 years. Right? You're eager, you want to get him started. Then Chumash L'Mikra. He's not ready for it yet. Right now, his avodah is playing. What's his avodah? What's the rush? These preschools have like a whole curriculum. Relax. The kid. There's a reason Chazal say don't get started with Chumash until he's 5 years old. So nowadays, we don't wait for Ben Chumash. Ve'inza mishum. Turn the page. It's not because there's some unbelievable wellspring of wisdom that has descended upon our world. That we know better today. It's because we don't have the patience to wait. We're impatient. So we come up with a svara, the kids need to get started earlier today. And then we mess everyone up. Because Erzeu Mahalech HaChayim. And if this is the mahalach of one's life, then I need to get there instantly. I'm not willing to work as an eved. I just want to be the head of the company. I just started working 3 weeks ago, as Mashpia said recently. A person starts working 3 weeks and he's wondering why he's not a millionaire yet. Doesn't realize how hard his parents and grandparents work to get to where they are, to be able to afford their house. So, ma yaseh ben shel yachta, quoting the Gemara in Brachos. So what's the child supposed to do that he shouldn't be messed up, that he shouldn't sin? We've taught him from the youngest age to be impatient. We've taught him, you just got to get there. You got to get to, you have to have big results. What about the process? We've totally undermined the process. Look what he says in the next paragraph. Why do people who are otherwise intelligent lose so much money sometimes on stupid investments? Investing money that they don't have. Right? Getting involved in gambling. Where does the addiction of gambling come from? A desire to get rich quick. They want to make a lot of money in a short period of time. And they put all their money in because they heard about some guy who once invested a lot of money and made a lot more money. And irresponsibly, they throw all their money in and they lose everything. Because instead of getting their 2% return, whatever it is, in their bank account, they decide, I'm going to get a 50% return. And then they lose everything. And all that comes from this impatience, this lack of willingness to work hard. To work hard without... I talk to people today, what do you want to do professionally? I don't know, I'm still figuring it out. What are you waiting for? You're waiting to figure out what's the thing that you love to do. Who says that going to work is supposed to be something you love to do? Maybe you go to work because you're talking about getting married, so you need to have a job. And you want to have kids, you need to support your family. Who said? If it works out for you and you enjoy your job, it's great. But who says, did any of our grandparents ever choose a job that they wanted to do? They did what they had to do. People did what they had to do with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. And you see that in their Avodas Hashem also. Their Avodas Hashem was consistent because their attitude of being an Eved was consistent in their life. Says the Tolner Rebbe, Va'achron hichvid sha'aratzon ha'oz liros ha'satotza miyad uvelo yegiya v'ashka. And of course, we come to the final step, which is that people want to see results without any effort. And look how we've institutionalized. Let me ask you, who's going to be valedictorian of MYP this year? The guy who worked the hardest or the guy who was the smartest? What do you think? What do you think the precedent is? Yeah, we've had valedictorians from our yeshiva who are not from. Right? Because we're not machshiv the hard work, we're machshiv the guy who has the highest GPA. You know, and is the smartest guy. Who says that's chashiv? A person born with a big brain, why does he get awards? Who says that that's chashiv? Where does it say that that's chashiv? Look at the left-hand column. Uviyaminu kol talmid nivchan rak al yidiaso atoranis bekamus uvaeichus. How do we judge someone today? How hard they work or how much they know? Quality, quantity. V'zeva erech ha-choshev biyoser. How much a person knows, that's what we give prizes to. Harbe yoser le'in aroch mi'erech ha-amel v'ayigiyah. We don't give rewards to a person who worked hard. Tzadikim, who know what they're talking about, educators who know what they're doing, they recognize those people. Like Rav Shlomo Freifeld, who had a Talmud who learned his first page of Gemara, and he gave him a photocopied one daf of Gemara, leather bound, and he said, we're making a siyum. It's kavod for you. That was finishing Shas. That was finishing all Masechta. It was one blot. Rebbe, it was one blot. Some people learn one blot in a half hour. Okay. But for you, this was an awesome accomplishment. So I'm not going to reward you because it's just one blot. For you, it's not just one blot. It's like learning Shas. So why do we give rewards, says the Talmud Rebbe, to the people who are smart? Where's the sense of a person who's an Eved, who works hard, who's consistent, who's Amel? Look what he writes here. It's so strong. We give all the kavod to a kid who has a big brain. And everyone who's smarter than the next guy, he's the better Jew. Says who? Look what he writes here. It's underlined. Talmud shall Rabbi Preda. Rabbi Preda's student, you know who Rabbi Preda was? Erevin Nundaladam and Bes. Rabbi Preda had a student that we taught him 400 times until he understood it. And there was one time that he got distracted and he had to teach him another 400 times. So says the Talmud Rabbi, what yeshiva is Rabbi Preda's student going to be taken into today? What yeshiva is looking for the next Talmud of Rabbi Preda? What Rabbi wants to teach a Talmud who's like Rabbi Preda? So Rabbi Preda today wouldn't get into any yeshiva. You'd have rabbis writing letters, have rachmanis, his mother's an almana, take this kid in. Nah, he's not smart enough for our yeshiva. Talmud Rebbe said, who says smart is a value in Yiddishkeit? Rav Weinberger always points out that in the four sons, who's the most chashuv? The Tam, not the Chacham. He says by the Chassidim, the Chacham is not a tzaddik. It's not called tzaddik, it's a Chacham. Smart guy. He has good questions, okay. But the Talmud Rebbe says, look how we've undermined the process of being an Eved, of being a person who works hard. We're not machshav of that. We get steps ahead of ourselves. And it plays out in every aspect of our life. You teach a kid Chumash when he's 2 years old because you want to make him into a brilliant genius. Yeah. So then later in life, he's going to end up putting his money into some investment, or he's going to end up getting engaged before he's ready to get engaged, right? Because he's getting ahead of himself. You haven't taught him that there's a process in life and that relationships are hard work. And making a living is hard work. And being successful in Torah is about hard work. And he writes at the end of the piece, he says that all the Gedolim, all the real Gedolim, were tremendous Amelei Torah, people who worked hard in Torah. The vast majority of the Gedolim were not natural geniuses. And even if they were, they worked way beyond that level of genius to make themselves Avdei Hashem, hard workers. Turn the page. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs in his Haggadah, has a very powerful line. Everything he writes is his beautiful English. He writes by the Rasha, there are many explanations given by the commentators as to why this particular question should be seen as a sign of rebellion. Right? When the Rasha says, Ma avoda zos lachem, what is this avoda for you? So, oh, you're a Rasha. What was so bad? He's asking. That's basically the Chacham's question. What is this avoda? What are you doing? The simplest answer is that whereas other children are spoken of as asking, in the case, the verse speaks of the child saying. The Rasha doesn't ask. He just says. He doesn't look. He's not really looking for an answer. That's the Pashup Shah. Another possibility is his use of the word avoda. The Torah uses the same word avoda to describe both slavery to Paro and service to God. The wicked son is in effect asking, what did our people gain by leaving Egypt? They merely exchanged one avoda for another avoda. Then they were servants to Paro, and now they became servants to God. But in both cases, they had a master. In neither case were they free. Says Rabbi Sachs, where it's underlined. The rebellious child understands freedom to mean having no master at all. He has not yet understood that freedom is not the ability to do what you like. It is the ability to do what you ought. Freedom means I'm free to choose to do the responsible thing. Freedom doesn't mean I do whatever I want. That's a slave. A slave is a person, right, who's controlled by others. He's controlled by his taivas. A free person says, now I have the freedom to choose to do the right thing. And that's the problem of the Rasha. Ma avoda zos lachem. Where's the freedom in all this? You went from being a slave of Paro to being a slave of Hashem. What did you gain from all this? What he doesn't understand is what a privilege it is to be a servant of Hashem. It's not slavery. It's not, God forbid, a punishment. It's a very, very big schus. Let's conclude by connecting ourselves to the Parsha. This past week's Parsha. In this past week's Parsha, in Parak Aleph, Pasuk, that's not the right Pasuk. In Parak Beis, Pasuk Yer Aleph. Parak Beis, Pasuk Yer Aleph, we learn that when a person brings a Karban Mincha, it says that the Karban, where is it? Why am I not saying it? If you turn to page 9. Yeah, Pasuk Yer Aleph. Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem, lo se'aseh chametz. The mincha should not have chametz. Ki kol sa'or v'chol devash lo saktir v'imanu ishel la-Hashem. You should not offer chametz, and you should not offer honey when you bring a karban to Hashem. What's the inyan? What does Hashem have against chametz, and what does Hashem have against honey? So the Sefer HaChinuch on page 9, although I gave you the wrong piece of it, but that's where it is. It's in Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah 117. The Sefer HaChinuch says the problem of chametz is the obvious problem of chametz, which is what? Everything that we talk about. That chametz is gaivadik, chametz is lazy, matzah is fast, zrizus, humility. Okay. So then the Sefer HaChinuch says, and again, it's not on the page in front of you, I apologize, it was the next piece, next part of his writings here in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin. Then the Sefer HaChinuch says, and what's wrong with honey? Shouldn't Avodas Hashem be sweet? What's wrong with honey in your karban? Shouldn't every karban be oozing with honey? What do we have against honey? And in the Torah, as we'll learn in a minute, also there's no honey. As we say in the Brisa in the morning, in our Siddur. We'll get to it in a moment. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. V'chein shamati tam, you don't have it in front of you, just listen, I have it here. V'chein shavot shamati tam be'isr sa'or devash. What does God have against honey? Because when a person thinks that a karban is only worth being a karban if it's sweet, I want my karbanos to be sweet, I want my avodas Hashem to be sweet, I want to be feeling it, I want it to be oozing with the vaharevna that we say in the Birchas Satorah in the morning, I want a life of sweetness in terms of physical pleasure, along with my avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me explain something to you. Avodas Hashem at its core is not about sweet. It's not about avodas Hashem being sweet, it's not about living a life of sweet things. You're a slave. You work for me. If you think the karban is only a karban if it's sweet, then you're not going to serve me. You're not going to be serious about this avodah. But Baruch Hu says, when you bring a karban, the karban doesn't have honey in it. It's not always going to be a sweet experience. But that's what a karban is. Lakriv, to draw close. To sacrifice. To make sacrifices for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we bring the ketores, we say a brisa in the morning, a brisa from Bar Kapara. Right, va'o tani bar kapara. Yeah, you recognize it? Va'o tani bar kapara, in the morning in the karbanos. Bar kapara also taught that what? We don't put honey into the ketores. After pitum ketores. Yeah, tanya bar kapara. Va'o tani bar kapara. Bar kapara taught, ilu hayin nosun ba'kortav shel dvash. If we would put a little bit of honey into what? Into the ketores. Ein adam yachol lamud mipnei recha. We would be overpowered by the smell. V'lama ein ma'arvin ba'dvash. V'nei shatar amra. Ki kol sa'or v'chol dvash. L'saktiru mimenu yishal Hashem. Take a look at page 10 and 11. There was a Yid in pre-war Europe who was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. Maybe you've never heard his name before. You'll hear it now. Yosef HaKohen Schwartz. Rav Yosef HaKohen Schwartz died in 1944. He was a Hungarian Rav. An editor of a very, very famous Torah journal in Europe that many Gedolim and Tzaddikim used to write into, called Vayelaket Yosef. We also have several volumes of his own writings, one being a volume of Shalos and Chuvos called Ginze Yosef. And in Simen Yud Dalid, in the Ginze Yosef, Rav Yosef HaKohen Schwartz says, I don't understand this brisa that we say as part of our davening from Maseches Krisos Dav Vav. I don't get it. Listen to the words again. Va'o tani bar kapara, bar kapara taught, if you were to put in a little bit of honey, ein adam yachol lamud mipnei recha, a person would not be able to what? To withstand the smell. The smell would be too powerful. So stop right there. So why don't we put honey into the ketores? Because the smell is too strong. So what's the next line? V'lama ein marvin b'dvash. Why don't we put in honey? You just told me why you don't put in honey. V'bnesha Torah amar ki kol sa'or v'chol d'vash lo saktir mimenu yishal Hashem. Because the Torah says don't put in honey. Hold on a second. I thought we don't put in honey because the smell is too powerful. What's the v'lama ein marvin b'dvash? Let's look inside. He writes this question. It's a little hard to read. Look at the words right below the arrow. V'lama ein ma'arvin b'dvash, v'bnesha Torah amra. Says of Yosef HaKohen Schwartz, halo kvar amr ba'atzmo. He already explained. What? Tam, the ein adam yachol lamed b'nei recha. Why don't we put it on it? Because the smell is too powerful. What's the follow-up question? V'lama ein ma'arvin b'dvash. So he says, I discussed this with different gedol. Let me give you some ma'arim makomos. And then he says, but I want to offer another interpretation. I'd like to offer the following explanation. He says two lines from the bottom. Ulam efshar lomar, api imada amrina. Listen to this Maimer Chazal. It's a Rashi in Chumash Vayikra. Al yomar adam, bottom line. Al yomar adam, a person shouldn't say, e efshar bebasar chazir. That I can't have pig's meat. And I'm not interested in pig's meat. A person shouldn't say that. Ela efshiba, rather, what should he say? I could have pig's meat. What's going to happen? A lightning bolt's going to strike me down? If we all picked up ourselves right now, took off our yarmulkes and walked to McDonald's and ate cheeseburgers together, I promise you a lightning bolt's not going to strike us down. So what does it mean? What does it mean? I can't. I can. And you know what? It smells good. Let's not lie. It says Chazal. Let's not lie. We don't have to lie. It's, treif, it looks disgusting. No, it doesn't. It looks delicious. And some of the taivas of the world, let's be honest, we'd love to do that stuff. We don't have to lie about it. Right? We want to do it, and we could do it. So why don't I do it? Why don't we do it? Efshiba, we could do it. V'atorah asarta, but the Torah says I can't do it. And the reason I don't do it is not because, I don't pretend I'm not interested in it. That's not a mahalach in Yiddishkeit, that we look at the world and say, oh, you do disgusting things, we're not interested in that. That's such a lie, it's such a big lie. We would love to live that hefkeris. We would love to eat wherever we want, and do whatever we want. Right? Of course I want to, and I could, I know I could, but I can't. Why? Because I'm an Eved Hashem. That's the foundation of our Yiddishkeit. So says Rav Yosef HaKohen Schwartz, take a look. He says, turn the page 11, the top of the line, V'ayim b'sefer divrei shaul, shekosav shezeh gamkin kavana satana ba'avos, batel ritzon cham evnei ritzono. What does it mean? Suspend your ratzon for his ratzon. What's your ratzon? Your ratzon is to indulge all the pleasures of this world. Let's be honest. We all want that. If you're a normal human being, that's what you want. But I negate my will for Hashem's will. Mashahu ratzon abore shetifosh minachazir. Hashem doesn't want me to eat bacon. Al tomer vada me ask me how you see porridge. Don't say, oh, on my own, I wouldn't want to do it. It's not true. You would want to do it. The only thing that's holding you back, you have free choice. The only thing that's holding you back is that God said, don't do it. So he writes at the end of the third line, v'zeh kavana. Af she'ein adam yachol lamod b'nei recha, im yishalu lama ein ma'arvin. Of course, a person physically couldn't stand in the presence of the Ketores. If it had honey mixed in, the smell would be so strong. But that's not why Jews do things. We don't do it because we can't. It makes us physically uncomfortable. Im yishalu lama ma'arvin. If we were to ask ourselves, why don't we mix in honey? The answer is one reason and one reason only. Because the Torah says, don't do it. Tzarich lomar, mipnei shatorah amra, v'al yomar efshi. Don't say I can't, on my own I don't want, you do want. The only reason I'm not doing it is because the Torah says so. So let's put this piece together with the chinuch. The sefer chinuch told us, don't mix in honey, because it's not always sweet. You have to do it with a sense of bittul to Hashem. So that's exactly this brisa. This brisa which says, don't mix in honey, is the dafka, the place where it teaches us, v'lama ein ma'arvin b'dvash. Not because of any self-serving reason, because God said so. That's what it means, don't mix in honey. The Torah is not always sweet, but with a sense of avdus, a Jew does what a Kadosh Baruch Hu asks them. I do it because the Torah says so. I would love to sleep as late as I want, but I have to get up in the morning. You know why? Because a Jew gets up to daven in the morning. I have to do it. Yeah, Nani, what do you want to say? Right? Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman, not because he had to. He did. He said, even if you commanded me, even if the king commanded me, I still went into it because I'm a Jew. A deep sense of recognition of who he is. Okay? Let's just end with the words of the Rambam and a story from the Sasems. It's up to Chaz of this Lashon of the Rambam. We forget about this Lashon for the Rambam. It's one of the most beautiful words of the Rambam that I know. Yeah, David.
Okay. It's been going well till now. So even if he wouldn't say something, I don't know, you said that don't do it because Hashem told you not to do it, but also maybe it would make sense not to do it.
Yeah, but that's exactly the point we're making here. Even if it makes sense to you, the reason I don't do it is because the Torah said so. And that's a very high level. It's Moshe Eved Hashem. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva on page 12, in Perek Yud Halacha Beis, Ha'oved Me'ava. Listen to this. You want to serve Hashem with love? Oseg b'Torah uv'mitzvos, v'holeich b'nesivos ha'chachma. This is what it means. We think everything we've explained today is Yiras Hashem. Says the Rambam, that's not true. This is Avas Hashem. If you love Hashem, do you think I take out the garbage at home because I'm afraid of my wife or because I love my wife? What do you think? Because I love my wife. So sometimes I do something that's unpleasant, not out of a sense of servitude, out of love. There's a way to become an Eved Hashem with love. Says the Rambam, a true person who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Osek in mitzvos, and he walks in the pathways of wisdom, lo mipnei davar be'olam, v'lo mipnei yiras hara. I don't do it because of societal pressures, I don't do it because of a fear of bad things happening to me, v'lo kedei lireish hatova, and I don't do it to get a prize. Ela osa ha'emes, underline these words, they're such beautiful words. Ela osa ha'emes, mipnei shehu emes. Chavi, you hear? Ela osa ha'emes, mipnei shehu emes. I live a life of Torah and mitzvos in a truthful, committed, and authentic way because it's true. Sort of what David was saying a second ago. Right? I do it because it's right. I don't need a prize. I don't need to be threatened into it. There's a deep recognition of what it means to do what's right because it's right. Osa emes v'mneishu emes. V'sofa tova levao biglala. And I know good things are going to come in the end anyways. But with a deep sense of what? How could I not do this? How could I not? The Russia doesn't understand that. The Russia says, ma avot azos lachem. You're living like a slave. The Russia doesn't know how good it feels when a Jew makes that commitment. And he's consistent. And at the end of his life, v'yamas sham Moshe Eved Hashem, and Hashem says, you were a true Eved Hashem. That's the biggest blessing a person can get at the end of your life. A whole life is striving to feel comfortable saying, Ana avda dekut shabrichu. I was true Hashem. I stuck it out for a long time. And there were some really tough days. Kafalayim arkegigis. I put a gun to my head and dragged myself out of bed. Because I had no choice. Because I understood what it meant to be an Eved Hashem. And last but not least, on the final page, the fifth Ger Rebbe, the Lev Simcha, tells a story that he heard from his father about his grandfather. Garebi, the fifth Garebi's father was the Imre Emes. And his father, Imre Emes' father, was the Sfas Emes. Okay, the second Garebi and the third Garebi. Sfas Emes was the second Garebi. Imre Emes was the third Garebi. Lev Simcha was the fifth Garebi. His brother, the Beis Yisrael, his older brother, was the Rebbe before him, the fourth Garebi. So he writes in his writings on Sukkot for Hashanah Rabbah. He's commenting really on the part of the tefillah that we say in Shmon Esrei, Esemach David Avdecha Meheir Satzmiach. David Avdecha. So he tells a very famous story, but it's nice to see it in print. He says, I heard from my father in the name of the Sfas Emes, where it's by the arrow. Sheba Ona Hashem, when a Jew says Ona Hashem, Yechol in Lavakeshu Lifol Hakol. When we say Hallel and we say Ona Hashem, we can ask for anything. And it works. So the Imre Emes said, Ha'olam chashvu, shakavana la'ana Hashem Oshiyana. Everyone thought my father was talking about Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, Hashem save me, Hashem make me successful. The Imre Emes said, the Hasidim totally missed it. What was my father actually talking about? Avnam hu yada shamachuvan la'ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. When a Jew says, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, when I sign up to be an Eved Hashem, that Ana Hashem. Not Ana Hashem, help me, save me. You know, Ana Hashem, I'm committed to you. Ana Hashem, ki ani avdecha. That's a chashuv thing. And that's Etzemach David Avdecha, Meheir Satzmiach. Etzemach David Avdecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu. We may not be Avdei Hashem the way we're supposed to be. We want to get there. But in the zchus of David HaMelech, who is an Eved Hashem, David HaMelech is the Sphira of Malchus, the last of the Spheros. Kabbalistically, Malchus receives from everyone above it. It's a recipient of the Hashba of others. Like an Eved. Masha Kana Eved, Kana Rabo. What the Eved acquires belongs to his master. Like we saw from Rosh Schwab, V'konei HaKol, Hashem owns everything, even our bodies. And therefore, Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. Esemach David Avdecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the schus of the Nevi'im Kadmonim, who were called Avadim, like we saw in the Shem Yishmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. So Mirtz Hashem, it's a totally different way to look at the night of Pesach. Right? To go mi'avdus la'avdus. Hallelu Avdei Hashem. That's what we're going to say. We say it every time we say Hallel, and we say it on the Seder night. Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Let's sing the songs. Let's rejoice over the fact that we have what? The possibility of being Avdei Hashem. Because if we weren't servants to Hashem, we'd be totally enslaved to the world. We'd be totally enslaved to our taivas. We'd fall into really low places. And the thing that stops us and holds us back, Ki HaTorah Amra, the Torah says so. So Mirtz Hashem, halavai, we should be able to be zocha to live up to these teachings and to be worthy of calling ourselves Avdei Hashem. I'll tell you just one thing. I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman in his Shabbos Shuva Joshua, Tavshin Samach Dalet. He said that the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva said a pshat in the way we sing it. Because I told you, the Vishnu Rebbe said, I am an Eved Hashem. It's bad enough to say it once. So the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, one of his Talmidim once said, maybe we should sing it, Avda, right? Say Avda more times. So the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva said, no, you have to understand that the first step to being an emistic of Eved Hashem is to believe in yourself. And if I don't believe in myself, then I really can't get started. So we say, I, yes. It's not only for the Moshe Rabbeinu and the David HaMelechs. It's for every Jew. I can be an Eved Hashem. It's hard work, but I can get there also. He said, you need to mechazik ourselves to sing it that way. Okay, so let's sing it again. I know. I know.